First of all, according to Luke, please, chapter 24. I have a brother in the flesh. He's 2 years younger than I am. He's unsaved. I've really only had one very good conversation with him about the gospel. And on that occasion, I visited him. And the first thing he said to me when I got into the house was, "Well, we don't want any of that religious talk in here." So I turned to his wife and I said to his wife, "That's one of the troubles with people. They think we want to talk about religion, but really I want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, a person." So as long as I kept talking to her, he couldn't interrupt. So I preached the gospel to him through her. And I was able to keep that up in a measure for the 3 days I was there. The day I was leaving, he decided to take the morning off of work. But that meant that him and I were going to be alone in the house. And he knew he was going to get it if I got the opportunity. And so, he started off trying to hog all the conversation. Of course, I could see where he was at already. I could understand his position. I would have done the same thing as he was doing. And he carried on and he tried to hog all the conversation. And you know, it was wonderful how the Holy Spirit operated. Everything he said, I was able to preach the gospel at him. And then I would stop and let him go on again, and I was able to preach it. But one thing he did say was this. He was talking about a group of men that he had dealings with. And he says, "I go down there and I show them my credentials and all the rest of it, and I tell them all about my experience." But this is what he said. He says, "They don't receive my word. And in the fact that they don't receive my word, they're actually rejecting me." That's how he started off. He said, "Because they don't accept what I tell them as being the truth about myself and his abilities and all the rest of it, and his credentials," he says, "they're actually rejecting me." Now, as I listened to Mr. Wilson speak, and seeking to exhort us to read the Word of God, that came to my mind. Listen, you and I, we profess to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this. It's seen in the amount that I love His Word. Oh yes, we can talk. And generally, it's just a whole lot of talk. Yeah. But here it is. If we are not loving the Word of God, how much do we really love the Lord Jesus Christ? That's an unsaved man. He says, if they don't accept my word, they're actually rejecting me. Well, if we are not really accepting his word, are we really loving him the way we should? Now, Luke chapter 24. And verse 15. It's a well-known passage, and I enjoy it. Luke chapter 24 and verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" You know, I read this because I think it's just like a little conference meeting. And here's two believers, and they're discouraged and downhearted and distressed. Now, wait a minute, Jesus himself drew near. You know what I believe? I believe that our Savior, he loves us so much that when he sees us getting into difficulty, downhearted, discouraged, he draws near. And he draws near in a very special way. You know why? He wants to shower the blessing of God upon us. He wants us to be rejoicing in our salvation. Why? Because when we're rejoicing in our salvation, you know what it means? It means that we are in happy communion with our God. And it means that we are in happy fellowship with our fellow believers. And it means that God can use us as a channel of blessing, like he can't in any other situation. When we're in happy communion with him, and happy communion, rejoicing in his salvation. But you know, the psalmist, he could say, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And oftentimes you and I are like the psalmist. Why, we're not enjoying the blessing of God's salvation the way that we should. And maybe it's because we're not reading and meditating upon the Word of God as we should. And maybe it's because that we're not exercised the way that we should be about the Bible reading. You know, 16 years ago I left Hamilton and I came to Saskatchewan, the prairies, in Canada. And I got a letter from one of the younger brethren. He's now in the oversight there. He's now one of the overseers. And he wrote me a letter just about 6 months after I left. So what I wrote, he says, you know, he says, I'm sure enjoying the Bible readings now. I don't know whether it was because I left or not. He says, I'm sure enjoying Bible readings now. No, it wasn't because of that. You know what it was? Oh, this young man, he was a lot smarter than I could ever have been. He was smart. He started taking a little part in the Bible reading. And of course he would ask a question, and then he sat there to find out which of the brethren would answer it and how they would answer it. You know, well, it created an interest. And because he was putting something in, he got something out, and he began enjoying the Bible reading. And you know, I wonder oftentimes, is that one of the troubles with us because we just come and go and there's no preparation? So they'll get nothing out of it. And so it's not too hard for us to say, oh, you know, we don't get anything out of that. I'll just stay home tonight. Well, is that enjoying your salvation? No, if you don't go in for it, you want it, you won't enjoy it. I'll tell you what he was doing. Oh, he was quite wise. Smart. He had a book called Question and Answers by Hostin Rogers. And he would look up to see if there was any questions in that chapter. And he would get the question, he would ask the question, and then he would sit and listen to see if the brethren would answer it. The same as Mr. Hose and Mr. Rogers. But it created an interest, and he was now enjoying the Bible reading. Maybe that's why you're not enjoying the assembly gathering, enjoying your life as a child of God, is because you're putting nothing in. And if you put nothing in, well, you get nothing out. Ah, but here, wait a minute. Jesus himself drew near. And I believe he draws near at conference gatherings. I believe he drew near here last night. And he knows your condition, and he knows my condition, and he knows the difficulties and troubles that you're going through. You know, there's quite a number of places where we find the Lord Jesus Christ drawing near, and you find the circumstances are always different, but they all change when he comes into the company. What about these two? Oh, they're discouraged, downhearted, distressed. They thought things were going real great, and all of a sudden they just fell flat in their face. That happens regularly, yeah, regularly. And he drew near. He's drawing near to you. He's speaking to you. Well, they didn't recognize him. Oh, you're sitting there and said, I thought it was only Mr. Wilson from Vancouver. Oh, that's only that picture from the prairies. Oh, that's only Mr. Maxwell. Oh, but listen, you've been reading the Word of God. And the others who stand up here, they'll be reading the Word of God as well. And they've been exercised before God to what portions of the Word of God that they would read. And they're reading them to you. Why? Because we're exercised by the help of the Holy Spirit to present to you things that you need to learn so that your condition. He's talking to you. He's talking to you through his word, through the Bible reading this morning. He's talking to you and I. Get it into your head. He's talking to us. You know why? He wants us to be enjoying our salvation. He wants our appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ to be like it's never been. He wants us to appreciate the place where we have been brought, led outside the camp, gathered to his precious name. Jesus himself drew near and is drawn near to you and I today. Let's go further down the path. Look at verse 28. It says in verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. Well, what's this? Well, what I see in it is this. You and I, we are the kind of Christians we are by choice. You and I, we are in the conditions that we are in by choice, because we could get out of them quite easy. Because it doesn't matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, he draws nigh. You know why? Because he loves us. And he loves us so much that he willingly gave himself. We are precious to him. Because of the price that he paid that we might be redeemed on Calvary's cross. We are precious to him. In fact, I would say that we are the most precious thing in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. Why? Because he has redeemed us by his precious blood. We are important in that sense to him. And his desire is
that we might know much of His love and the love of God, and that we might be enjoying this salvation until He draws near. Ah, wait a minute. The responsibility is up to you and I. If you don't hear it said, oh, I love preaching the gospel in it. Oh, I sure do. It says, He went as though He would have gone further. He didn't want to go any further. No, that was the last thought in his head to go further. What he wanted was he was wanting to go in there and abide with them so that he might reveal himself to them. He wanted to go in there so that he might bless them further. That's what he wanted. Ah, but he doesn't push himself on anybody. Same for some. He leaves it up to you now. He made as though he would have gone further. As though he would have gone. He didn't want to go. He leaves it up to you now. And what happened? They invited him in. That's what he wanted. That's what he wants. He wants a greater place in your heart. He wants a greater place in your life. He wants all the place. He wants a preeminent place. He made as though he would have gone further. You know, you have a great opportunity. He's drawn nigh at this conference. You could invite him in. Listen, your life will be changed for the death and for the glory of God and for your blessing and the blessing of others. And the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. No doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it. They lift it up to them, though, and they leave it up to you and I. Do you know what can happen at a conference like this? You and I can go back home the way we come. No, we can. Up to you. We can go away just as well, just the way we came. Or we can go away with a greater desire to live for God and the people of God and for the glory of God. No, we can. It's up to you now. That's our choice, yeah, we can. This conference could change your life. Of God's glory, God. It's up to you now. The responsibility is ours. Yeah. The responsibility is yours. He made as though he would have gone further. And if he didn't want it. And he doesn't want it. As far as you can. Let's go down further now to verse 50. Verse 50. And he led them out. You know, he's still leading us out. He's leading unsaved ones out of sin and degradation. He's leading them out with his wonderful salvation. He's leading them out to himself. And once we're saved, he's leading them outside the sect and system of men, and he leads them to where two or three are gathered together in his name. He's leading us out, and he's still leading us out. And he's seeking by the conference to lead you out of the things that maybe have entrapped you already. The things that you have been engaged in that are no help to your spiritual welfare or benefit. He's seeking to lead you out. And what is he doing? He's seeking to lead you out from hell. Away from the things of time and what time. This Mr. Maxwell said last night, take the world and give me Jesus. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing to you and I. He's seeking to lead us out of the things of time and sense and be more occupied with him and the things of hell. He led them out. Where did he lead them to? He led them out as far as to Bethany. Now Bethany means the house of dates. And that would suggest to me the house of sweetness. And you know Bethany was a place where the Lord Jesus Christ delighted to go. Why? Mary and Martha and Lazarus were there. And the Savior, he delighted to go there. Why? Because there was those he loved were there. And those who loved them, him were there. And he delighted to be found in the place of Bethany. The house of sweetness. I love a picture of the assembly. When you think of John chapter 12, where you read about it, what do you find? You find the Lord Jesus Christ is there, you find Lazarus is there, you find Martha is there, and you find Mary is there. Oh, you find Lazarus, he's in communion with his Savior. He's sitting at the table. And they're talking, as it were, face to face. Tremendous privilege you and I have of conversing with our Savior, speaking to him, as it were, face to face, in communion with himself. And then what do we find? We find Martha serving. Oh, we're thankful that the assembly is a place where you and I can serve. Oh, yes. We were reminded about servants. We're all servants in the one sense. We've all been saved to serve. We've all been saved to serve him. We've all been saved to serve one another as well. Wow. Saved to serve. Then what happened? Bethany. Oh, and Mary was there, of course, wasn't she? She was a worshipper. In John chapter 12. In Luke chapter 10, she's a learner. She's the first. Oh yes, a place to learn. Ah, but it's a place to go out and find the Savior for herself. what happens then? And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Do you know something? He hasn't stopped blessing us yet. Do you know this is a wonderful blessing that we have, of being able to gather even today in this commodious hall around the Word of God in fellowship with one another and with a measure and a little desire to hear the Word of God, that we might be a blessing and a help to one another and enjoy each other's fellowship
and enjoy something from our good God as well. It's a wonderful blessing. Do we appreciate it? Do we appreciate the place where we have this? Do we appreciate the place where we can sit there with open Bibles and we can judge what the speaker says, to whether he's right or wrong? We have that freedom. A lot of places don't have it. Oh yeah. He's still blessing.
He blesses us with health and strength. He blesses us with sound mind and spiritual blessings found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge that our sins are all forgiven.
Glorious prospect that one day soon we're going to be with him. What a wonderful blessing to gather to remember him in his own appointed will.
What a friend we have in Jesus. What a blessing to gather at the throne of grace as a company of the people of God.
And in our closets as well. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh yes, he lifted up his hands and he blessed us.
And he's still blessing us.
Listen, you what happened then? It says when we worship him. Are you a worshiper this morning? Are you a worshiper this morning? You know something? I don't like to call the remembrance meeting the worship meeting. I think every meeting should be a worship meeting. When I listen to my brethren preach the gospel, I'm occupied with Christ. I appreciate what he did for me when he died and caught me. That causes me to worship. When we gather to study the Word of God, it's full of him. And oftentimes we're occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ in the minute and the Bible reading. And worship. When we're occupied with him, what happens? You know, we've got wonderful hymns. And we sing them every meeting, don't we? One or two at least, isn't it? And most of our hymns always direct our thoughts to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, but every meeting should be a worship meeting. Every meeting should be a worship meeting. Oh yes, I agree. Yes, I do. The remembrance meeting is set by itself. Why? We're continually, completely, or we should be occupied with him and our work. Oh, I agree. But every meeting should be a worship meeting.
Well, it says, and they worship him. And they turn to Jerusalem with great joy. And we're continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Now I want you to turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And verse 26. John chapter 1 and verse 26. John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Look at verse 35. And again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and said, and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Oh, in Luke chapter 24, you have the two disciples inviting the Lord in. To their abode, you might say. Here you have the Lord, he invites the two disciples to come to where he abides as well. You know, as I sat in my seat and as I thought of the meeting, I was thinking of the names that begin with Beth. You read about one in John chapter 5. It says there in John chapter 5, there was a gate, a sheep gate, at the market pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. That means the house of salvation. But I thought rather than come to that, I could preach the gospel a little bit from these verses here. Where John, he points to the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I would like to ask you in our company, are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Has there been that time in your life when you realized that you were a guilty sinner on the road that leads to destruction, but you got your eyes open and the eyes of your understanding open to realize that the Lord Jesus, when he died on the cross, he was being wounded for your transgression. He was being bruised for your iniquities, and the punishment that you deserve was being laid upon him, and with his stripes. Have you had that experience? You were here. Have you had that experience of realizing and understanding the truth of the Word of God, that what was happening in Calvary was the Lord Jesus Christ was bearing the penalty and punishment of God against sin, for guilty sinners like you, and guilty sinners like me? He says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." But did you notice the verses just before that? You see, there's a bet here as well, isn't there? Yes, there is. Look what it says. In verse 28, these things were done in Bethabara. You know what that means? The house of passage. You know, when a person has had their eyes and had their look off to the Lamb of God at Calvary's cross, realizing why the Son of God loved me and he gave himself for me at Calvary's cross. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ died for the ungodly, so therefore he died for me. And the next step in the journey, why? What happens would be baptism. Why? Because in baptism, you identify yourself with the one who died, the one who was buried, and the one who rose again. You're identifying yourself with him. That's what has already happened in your heart by trusting him as your Savior and maybe confessing him as Lord with your mouth. And now you're making that public demonstration. You know what it is? It's a passage of permission. It's a house of permission. It's a house of passage. Here, it's the house of permission. Submitting to the Word of God. You know something? This place is found three times in the Word of God. It's only mentioned once here by name, but it's mentioned two other places. And you'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ was there. It was a place where the Lord Jesus Christ delighted to go. Why? He likes to be with those who submit to the Word of God. Why? He submitted to the Word of God himself. He did everything. He did all. He always did those things to please the Father. He pleased not himself. He submitted himself to the Word of God. It's the place of blessing. The Lord Jesus Christ was found there. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ comes here. He found John the Baptist. Why? He was at the place of passion. He was at the place of submission. When you think of that mighty man, John the Baptist. You know, one time I was in Vancouver, and I was in a house with some of our brethren, and they started speaking about who do you think was the most important prophet, the most important king, or the greatest. And you know, I was glad nobody said John the Baptist, because I'd have been stuck in all the rest. But I got John the Baptist. You can't argue with that. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said it. He says, he was the greatest born of them. Yeah. Greatest. Why? Because he submitted himself to the Word of God. He says, I'm not fit to tie shoes. No. He took that place. He submitted himself to God. He gave the Lord Jesus Christ the commandment. That's what worship means. Worship means meaning. Making little of yourself and making much of him. And that's what John the Baptist said. To me, as I read over the life of John the Baptist, he led a life of worship. What did he say this? He was human like you and I. Oh, you've got all blessings. Oh, why? You can still worship God in spirit and in truth. You can still make much of him and make little of that. So what do we have? Well, he says here in verse 27, he it is, he's coming after me is prepared before me. Whose shoes latch it, I am not worthy to unloose. The place of submission. When we look at the next place we've mentioned, look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Oh, here was a tremendous test for John the Baptist. He was a leading man until the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene. That's always true of anybody. Doesn't matter who we are, you might be the leading man, but you're not the leading man when the Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene. But John the Baptist was a leading man. No doubt about that. John answered and said in verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, and I must decrease. Listen, that's the road. That's the road to the enjoyment of God's wonderful blessing. That's the road to living a life that's glorifying to God. That's the road that guarantees your reward at the judgment seat of Christ. What's that? Making little of self and much of him. He must increase. He must have a greater control in my life and in my home and in the assembly that I'm in as we carry on. You know, when I got saved, the only thing I knew was that Christ died for me. I got saved through verses that I didn't know were in the Bible. Until the man pointed them out to me. But when I got saved, I knew that he died for me. However, I found out a whole lot since then. I found out he still loves me. And I found out he cared for me before I got saved. And he's caring for me after I got saved. And one day he's coming and he's going to take me up to heaven so that I'm going to be forever with him. Oh yeah, I've learned quite a bit about him then. I appreciate him a whole lot more than I did then. But I really appreciated him then as well. Because I realized that by his death on the cross of Calvary, he saved me from condemning myself in the wicked man. Yeah. Here it is here. That place beyond Jordan, it's not mentioned by name. Not mentioned by him. John! Ho! You know that man that you baptized, John? You know him? Oh, but he's doing, John. And by he's baptizing a whole lot more than you. Oh, you're not such a big a man as you think you are now, John. Ah, but he's a spiritual man. Ah, you don't have to be a big man. Anymore. The important thing is being a spiritual man. The important thing is being a person who's in touch with your God. The important thing is a person who is in touch with the Spirit. The important thing is a person who's been used as a channel of blessing amongst the people of God and unsaved people that are coming to contact. Yeah. Living a life that's glorifying to God. John the Baptist says, that's what your baptism says. You're confessing him as well. He's everything. I love it. Is that the way you live? You know what's happening? Most of our problems. Most of our problems are caused by we increase. We decrease. Let's come over to chapter 10. We've got 1 minute left. Chapter 10. And verse 38. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know, and believe, that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. And he went away again beyond Jordan, into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. What a tremendous place this is. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He went back to the place beyond Jordan. The place of submission. The place of submission. Oh, he likes the people. He likes to be with the people who of God who submit to the word of God. That's the place where we can invite them in. You want to invite them in? You just submit to the word of God. He delights to go to the place beyond Jordan. The place of submission. Listen,
That man John the Baptist had a wonderful testimony.
You know, that's a tremendous statement when it says that he did no miracle.
Peter did miracles.
John did miracles. The other apostles, they performed miracles as well.
John the Baptist, he did no miracles.
Oh, but he has his testimony in the Word of God. It's everything he said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ.
Would you like to have that said of you? I certainly would like to have it said about me. Everything I said about him. He must think. I must be here.
Do you know what it says there?
And many believed on him. Oh yes, it was a place where others were attracted to his way.
It was a place where others were brought into the wonderful blessing of God's salvation.
It says, and many believed on him. When we submit ourselves to the word of God, to the worship of God, God can speak us up. You'll be enjoying your salvation. God can speak us up in Jesus.